Good to have each one of you here tonight. As we continue on, where tonight we're in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. I put a little heading on this: the right thing done the wrong way. The right thing done the wrong way. Ever so important. There's some great lessons here for us tonight. And so I appreciate each one of you coming and being here to learn the Word of God. We'll be talking about that too a little bit as we get into this tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time before we get started. Heavenly Father, as I come to you at this time, Lord, I would just ask that you would grant all of us an understanding, open our understanding that we would understand the Scriptures. And then, dear Lord, I pray, as Walt just prayed, fill me, Lord, fill all of us with thy Holy Spirit, that, Lord, may the Holy Spirit have power over the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. May the Holy Spirit control, be in charge, and Heavenly Father, and now glorify yourself in what's done. Show us truth from the Word of God. Now, folks, these folks have come here to hear the Word of God. Lord, these folks have come to learn the Word of God. And Lord, as we look into the bulletin today, my folks, my people are destroyed, killed, died for lack of knowledge. So, Father, as we see an example of that here tonight, I pray, dear God, that we might become diligent in what we do. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want you to look at your notes, and I want you to look down at verse 9, first of all, as we start off tonight. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Great question, but it was asked too late. Sure wasn't going to help Uzzah now, was it? Not at all. He's dead. Isn't that amazing how that you and I, so often, we'll ask the right question after the fact. We're good at that, aren't we? Asking the right question after the fact. That means we might have started off with good intentions, but we started off wrong. That's why it's so important for us to know the Word of God. Now, I want to make a statement right before I start in verse 1. This is 2 Samuel chapter 6 there in verse 1. Between verse 1 and verse 5, there's something I want to say here that's so important for all of us. Here's the statement I want to make. Here we are going to see the importance of proper religious knowledge. Here we're going to find the importance of being taught the Word of God. Here we're going to find the importance of that religious knowledge. And I want you to know it is extremely important to you and me. Now, let's start. I want you to see the first five verses. It's kind of like David saying, let's do something religious that'll make us happy. Let's do something religious that will make us happy. And so David is going to set out to do that. He's going to do something religious in hopes that it would make them happy. And so it appears that everything started off okay. So now let me show you something here. Let's take these first five verses apart to start off with. Because we've got to realize something. Purpose is really important. Let me give you an idea. the purpose of the church has been so skewed, so twisted, so turned that people in America don't understand the real purpose of the church. The church was not built to be a welfare center. It wasn't built to be just a big social center for everybody. It wasn't built to be a place to where you hand out stuff to all the welfare people. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The purpose of the church, if I could have take you back in time with me, you'd find out the purpose of the church there in the Soviet Union was one thing. That was to raise men and women, boys and girls, with a strong knowledge of the Word of God. That was their purpose. That's what they did. They worked at that one thing, and that was their purpose. So what we find here, the reason I wanted to put that into perspective for you right now, we're going to have to talk about that in a moment. But these first five verses are just really revealing. Verse 1, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Woo! And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah, and Ahio. The sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. Let's just stop right there. You see, first of all, I want you to know something. God considers some things we do irreverent. And God does not tolerate irreverence. I mean, that's one thing. Especially when God has already said, don't do this. Okay? Now, ignorance of the Word of God will allow you to do things, religious things, your way. Ignorance of the Word of God allows people to do religious things their way. Okay? I'm going to show you something about that that is absolutely true. We're going to learn something. We're going to learn some really good lessons tonight. Man. So now, David's ignorance of the Word of God, Abinadab's ignorance of the Word of God, the people's ignorance of the Word of God was going to allow them to do something religious, but they were going to do it their way. Now, so we find then the word new cart listed twice. Well, we're going to get into this later on, but the fact of it is, in the book of Numbers, God told the people of Israel how to handle the ark. The ark was the most precious article in the tabernacle. The ark had the cherubims on it. That's where the sacrifice was done. That's where the blood was sprinkled. the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines, when they took it, they decided to peek on the inside of it. And God killed over 50,000 of them for doing that. Wow. You see, it's precious to God. Those things that are precious to God. Now listen to me. If it's not precious to us, we will treat it wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay? Now, most of you just said amen to that, right? Okay? There's two things in the Word of God that you find that's absolutely precious and sits right next to the heart of God. Two things. One was the ark. The ark of God. That represented the presence of God, the power of God, the blessings of God, everything. The second thing. Anybody know what it is? The Lord's church. The Lord loved the church, gave himself for it. Man, that means it's pretty precious to him, isn't it? You see, you're going to find when you go through the Word of God, there's only two things that's really, really precious to God like that. One was the ark, and the other is the church. The Lord loved it. That means it's precious to him. And he gave himself for it. Listen. If you abused the ark, you died. If you touched the ark, you died. Here's the Lord's church. Within the Lord's church, you need to show reverence for the house of God. Here they showed no reverence for this, and look what happened. Their ignorance got them in trouble. I want you to know the ignorance of Uzzah was, did God say, well, ignorance is okay? No, he killed him. I want you to understand something. We talk about the church, but for some reason it doesn't click with us. You just think it's a place where you come, you sit down, do a few things, try to make it happen, socialize a little bit, hear the preaching of the Word of God, get up and walk out. You've got to understand something. The church, the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
It's the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is dear to the heart of God. There's just those two things in the Word of God that you find like that. And just think, both of them are objects. Now watch this. So here's what happens. Follow me as I draw an analogy here for you. David was going to have a religious experience. Watch this now. Read verse 5 with me. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on the psalteries and on tabrels. And on cornets and on cymbals. Well, guess what? When I look at this, those first five verses just scream at me at what's happened to the Lord's church. A bunch of people, leadership, leadership determines so much. Here you had David gathered. Listen, ignorant leadership does ignorant things. Ignorant leadership does irreverent things. Ignorant leadership allows irreverence toward God. David, in his ignorance, number one, look what happened. Verse 3, man upon a new cart, listed twice, a new cart. David thought because he had a new cart, he'd be all right. He thought if he had a new cart, he was honoring God because he had a new cart. But the Word of God says that the Ark of the Covenant had rings on both sides where two staves went through. The Kohathites were supposed to carry it, but guess what? They couldn't even go in until the Levites had covered it up. And God said, if they touch it, I'll kill them. But they are to carry it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a new cart. We just need to know how to do it like God wants it done. The problem is, we think we've got to advance ourselves somehow and have a new cart for the thing of God. We don't need a new cart. We just need good old time gospel singing is what we need. We don't need a new cart. We're just satisfied. We need to be satisfied with that good old King James Bible. We don't need a new cart. But man, we live in a time where everybody wants to do the work of God with a new cart. They want to bring something new in. No, let's find out what the purpose is. And let's stick to the purpose. Now, the world's not going to like the purpose. You know why? Because the view of the church has been so changed that they think, man, when they go to church, the kids are supposed to have ball games, bowling games, all kinds of playthings, everything you can think of. That's not the purpose of the church.
Amen.
The difference between an American church, the church we used to work with by the Iron Curtain, is they said the adults sit down with their kids and they explained to lost people, they explained to their children the purpose of the church.
Amen.
The purpose of the church, they tell their kids, that's where we go to learn the Word of God. That's where we go to learn the Word of God.
Amen.
That's where we go to get married. That's where we go to learn how to serve God.
Amen.
Everything their 5-year-old kids could, you could ask them, why are you going to church? Learn the Word of God. Nothing else. But for some reason, we've got it in our head, we need to do something new. We got to have something new. No, we don't. God sure didn't, did he? It's a new cart. Let me show you something about this. You see, David and them went out to do something good. But notice this, they were doing the right thing the wrong way. They were doing a good thing the wrong way. You might look and say, well, man, they're passing out food. They're doing this. They're doing that. They got all that going for them. I'm happy for them. They're doing a good thing. But that does not mean it's the right thing. We might pass out food, do all kinds of things, and leave people dumber than driveway rocks when it comes to the Word of God.
Right.
That's happening all around us, isn't it? They substitute religious activity for scriptural Christianity. Now, scriptural Christianity is people that know the Word of God, live by it, die by it. Man, look at David. Boy, he said, I'm going to go get this thing. We're going to have a good day, I'm telling you. We're going to have a good day. They're out there dancing and carrying on. Man, I mean, they're just having a ball. Look what they've done. You see, religious people doing the wrong thing can have fun. Man, I know a lot of people think they got to work for their salvation and everything else. They go to church, buddy, they'll have things that make you want to jump pews and roll in aisles. I mean, they'll do it. My wife asked one lady about this church service she went to. She said, "Oh, I like going there." She said, "Why?" "Oh, it just makes me feel so good." Now, if the Word of God's preached, I want you to know something. It'll make the saved feel good sometimes. Make the saved feel bad sometimes. Yeah. And it'll make sinners feel bad all the time. Yeah. I had one guy, I've had more than one, walk out and tell me, "I ain't never coming back to this church. I come to church to feel good, and I leave this place, I feel bad. Every time I come, I just walk out the door feeling bad." "Hey, I ain't coming back." What a shame, huh? But see, if you don't know the purpose. Man, they had a good time, didn't they? They were having a good time. Ladies and gentlemen, they were having a good time. Now, let's move on. You got the first point? Good. It's not singing, it's not dancing, it's not a new thing. No. If David would have known the Word of God and just done it like God said, everything would have been fine. But somebody, David said, "I'm going to do it. Leadership, I'm going to do it. We're going to go get the cart. I'm going to get me about, 30,000 men. We're going to go get the cart. We're going to pick up the cart. I got it. I got a new cart for the ark. Brand new, buddy. We're going to get us a couple oxen and pull that thing. And we're a couple guys going to escort it. We're going to have a good day. We're going to get that ark away from Abinadab. And we're going to get out here and we're going to dance and just have a good time today." Ignorance of the Word of God will cause you to assume that God is going to accept your worship. Ignorance of the Word of God is going to cause you to assume that God's heard your prayer. Ignorance of the Word of God is going to cause you to assume that everything's right between you and God. Ignorance of the Word of God is going to cause you to assume that you're saved, blood washed, born again, you still live like you're possessed with 10 demons. Right? Somebody sent me a little thing a while ago and I read it and I laughed. I thought, man, boy, that's a truth. There was a little shield and it said, "God wanted full custody instead of weekend visits." I read that thing and I thought, boy, that's the truth, isn't it? But see, that's the way it is in a lot of Christian homes in America. I want you to know something. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing. Listen, the more you inundate yourself with the Word of God, the more control you'll have over yourself.
Amen.
The more you have of the Word of God in you, you'll find out the more wisdom you'll have. the more the Word of God in you, you'll find out the more the people around you can rely upon you for a good answer. You show me somebody that's inundated with the Word of God, I'll show you somebody. You talk about self-control. I said that one time, and all of a sudden I thought about it, and the Holy Ghost said, self-control? No, no. You fill yourself with the God, with the Word of God, and it's me control. I almost felt like I had to go back to the pulpit and say, hey, everybody, listen up. God just straightened me out on this. What's controlling you? Listen. Ignorance is a killer. Do you hear me? Twice in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12 and in Proverbs 16:25. Both verses say the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's what religious ignorance does. It allows people to do things, and listen, if they get away with it, they think they've done good. But they don't get away with it, because it always comes out at some point. Let me show you something here. Let's read verse 6 and 7 now. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. There he died by the ark of God. God smote him for his error. His error. You see, too bad Uzzah didn't have somebody around him to tell him what to do and what not to do. Too bad Uzzah didn't have a preacher, a prophet, a priest that knew the Word of God enough to say, listen, David, if you're going to move that thing, you better go back and find out what God said about it. You better run back up into the book of Numbers and read what God had to say about moving that thing. But he didn't. Ignorance assumes right if it seems right to you. That's why conflict comes in churches. Because there's some people in the church that know the Word of God. We hope the pastor does. But then there's other people that just think they know the Word of God. And they don't. So they say things and do things that just shows just plumb, how plumb dumb they are about the Word of God. Totally ignorant. But they want to assume that their right is right. When it's totally wrong. 100%. David thought he was right. But he was wrong. Now there's something else about this I want you to see. When leadership is wrong, somebody else will have to pay the price. I've lived in that world. Do you hear me? Look here. Leadership was wrong and it cost Uzzah his life. Didn't it? leadership was wrong. And it cost Uzzah his life. Spiritual leadership cannot afford to be wrong.
Amen.
Because it always has a high price in somebody else's life. Somebody else will pay a high price. David didn't die, but Uzzah did. But there's something about this. When leadership denies something, when leadership don't understand, when leadership is sideways with the truth of God, when leadership says, "Hey, why'd you do that? I disagree with that." Let me show you something here. Go to verse 8. Watch this. Now, Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, God said, don't touch it. All right, we'll get into that later on. But look at verse 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Do you know what that means? That amazed me. Totally, 100%. But I thought to myself, man, is that not right or what? That is 10,000% correct. Look at this. David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. In other words, David, in his ignorance, was mad at God because God killed Uzzah. David, in his ignorance, was mad at God. That's what that means. And David was displeased. Man, that means he was mad at God. Why'd you do that? We were out here having a good time, God. I got all these people together, God. We went and got the ark, God. We had great music, man. We were patting our foot, jumping up and down, waving our hands, having a good time. And God, you ruined it all. Why'd you kill him and ruin us? And David was displeased. David was mad about it. I read that and I thought, man, that sounds like church work to me. I've never had much of a problem with people that knew the Word of God. But I've had ignorant people. I didn't know the Word of God, be very displeased when confronted with the Word of God. Like David. David got displeased. David got mad because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah. Watch this. That's amazing to me. David was not taking the blame for this. Leadership, ignorant leadership, never takes the blame. Because if they did, they'd have to admit their ignorance. David's not taking the blame for this, is he? Mm-mm, buddy. David ain't taking the blame for this. He's just mad at God because of it. And so it is. Man, I've preached the Word of God and I've seen people get mad in their ignorance. They were ignorant of the Word of God. They were ignorant of the truths of God. They were ignorant about the reverence of God. They had no reverence for God, God's Word, God's book, God's man, nothing. They had their own truths, and that's what they were living with. That's what they'll die and go to hell with. Yeah. They got their own truths. They didn't want to listen to the truth. And boy, when I confronted them with the truth, they got mad. I'm talking about fire-breathing mad. They had rather live and function in their ignorance and die and go to hell than they would deal with the truths of the Word of God. Look at David. David was displeased. Rather than David saying, God, why'd you do it? God, why'd you do it? What'd we do, God? No, no. He just got mad at God for doing it. That's what people that's biblically ignorant do. People that's biblically ignorant, they want to live according to their own religious truth rather than biblical truth. And they'll die and go to hell with that. But boy, you try to convince them, listen, if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't open their understanding, they'll die and go straight to hell with their religious truth.
Right.
And they'll get mad at you for telling them the truth. Look at that, it's right there in front of you. Well, David had a little bit of sense about him. Look what it says. David gave a name to the place, but it never does say that God, that David said, why? Why, God? Why? Nope, didn't do that. Look what it says in the next verse. 2 Samuel 6:9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He should have asked that question up front, huh? But you know why he didn't? Because he assumed that what he was going to do would be pleasing to the Lord. He assumed that. But if he had went back, done a little investigation, he'd have found out how God wanted him to move the ark. But he didn't do that. He assumed that, boy, I'm going to go do this. That's the ark. We're going to go get it. We're going to have a party. We're going to be out in the streets having a good time. We're going to go up there. We're going to shout and carry on and wave our hands and have a good time. Have all this wonderful music. Like one fellow said, he said, you know, it's amazing how blind people are when they get satisfied with their own truths. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Great question asked too late. Just think, folks. How many times in your life have you wished you'd asked the right question first? Wow. To ask the right question first. Boy, that would have saved you a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? You see what we have here? How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now watch what happens. So David was afraid of the Lord. He should have been afraid of the Lord. But when I look at this, I think the most amazing thing to me is this. David was 100% human here, wasn't he? I mean, he didn't admit wrong. He didn't ask God why. Nothing. That's amazing to me. Listen, now there's something I want you to see and don't miss it. Don't miss it, whatever you do. Here's what it is. This one question. When leadership like David gets to the point of this, if you'll notice, David was totally focused on what David wanted. You see that? Look what he says. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? The only thing, David was focused on was getting the ark to him. That's it. You see that? When leadership becomes focused on just doing this thing without understanding all the things that play into that, somebody else is going to have to pay the price. Somebody is going to die. General Mark Clark, during the Second World War, him and British Commander Monty, they had a whole lot of conflict. Mark Clark was about 6'2". I met him several times, talked to him when I was stationed there at the Citadel. And he was an interesting guy. But he was one of the most incompetent generals during the Second World War. You ask people that question, it's amazing. I asked him one day, I said, how does it feel to be considered to be one of the most incompetent generals there is? He looked at me and said, well, my mother told me I'd be famous for something. That's what he said. But the reality of it is this. They went to build a bridge across the Main River in the wintertime. And boy, the engineers said, don't do that right here. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And now we got to do that. So they sent them out there to try to build that thing. Man, the waters come down there, washed it down, killed guys. I mean, it was just a mess before they ever got that thing stabilized. You see, leadership that's just focused on this without considering what else comes into that picture always leads people astray, and it'll always cost somebody else something. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? That's the only thing David was focused on. I want you to know something as I look at this great question. Why didn't he ask it up front? Why didn't he ask it up front? If he'd asked it up front, Uzzah would still be alive. If he'd asked it up front, he'd have made it all the way to his house. But he didn't. Well, God does things at times, and He does it for a lot of reasons. I want you to know something. Just think about this. If God had not killed Uzzah and allowed him to touch the ark, when he got that thing back, everybody would want to touch it, look at it, maybe peek inside of it. But boy, when God killed one, that was better than the 50,000 Philistines he killed, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Let me show you something. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord, this is verse 10, unto him and to the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Well, let's park it for a while. And find out how we're supposed to move it. Let's park this thing and find out what made God so mad. Well, it's what he did. Verse 11. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. The blessing of the presence of God. Wow. The blessings of the presence of God. You know, that's what we need, isn't it? We need the blessings of the presence of God.
Amen.
That's what we need. I reckon if I wonder, as I looked at that, I thought, man, the application of that is simple. If we're failing, we ought to ask God, what must we do, God, to get the presence of God, to get the blessings of God? Good question, huh? Well, guess what? Boy, David done a little research, had some people find out how shall the ark come to him. And when they went back to get it, they done it God's way. Now, here's the thing I want to get at. There's two things here that you need to see. Number one is this. David messed up. Cost Uzzah his life. David said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He stopped what he was doing to find out something. Maybe that's what me and you need to do at times. Maybe that's what we need to do. Is just stop sometime. And just, God, stop this world and let me off for a minute. Stop everything and let me off. Until I find out something. God, find me a place where I can be alone with you. Just you and your word. So I can find out some things. God, you need to talk to me. You need to show me. You need to deal with my heart, my mind, my soul. Amen. You need to open my understanding, God. God, give me a place where I can go hide. Shut the phone off. Go hide in the woods.
Amen.
Somewhere where you can be alone with God. So God can tell you how to handle one of the most precious things God had, His ark. I tell you something. You want the blessings of God in your life? You need to stop. And talk to God.
Amen.
You need to let God get involved in your life. You need to say, God, in my ignorance, I've done this and that. God, in my ignorance, I've done this and that. God, in my religious ignorance, I've done this and that. But now, God, show me truth. May I live for truth, with truth, die for truth. But God, most of all, the Bible says we must serve the Lord. How? In spirit and in truth. Now, just think about this. Was those first five verses, verse five, they all up shouting, singing, carrying on? Let me ask you a question. Were they serving the God in spirit? Sure they were. Man, they were doing it, weren't they? They were in the spirit. Man, they were in it. Look at this. They were dancing. They had all the music. They had everything. They were in the spirit. I've even had people tell me, man, I like that church down there. I can go down there to that church and I get in the spirit. Get in the spirit. You don't need to get in the Spirit. You need the Spirit to get in you.
Amen.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, boy, there's a truth for us to deal with, isn't it? To allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to have dominance in our life. Not second place, first place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First, not second, first. Spurgeon said, you can tell whether God's first in somebody's life. All you have to do is watch them, and the decisions they make will tell you where they're at spiritually. Because they'll not put God first. They'll not put God first. In other words, their actions speak volumes, doesn't it? You see, ladies and gentlemen, as I bring this lesson to an end and the hour is gone, I want you to know something. Let's make sure. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How should this precious thing that God values so much come to us? I want you to know, when it comes to the Spirit of God, when God saves somebody, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within them. But the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about your life grieving the Spirit of God? Think about it. If your life grieves the Spirit of God, what kind of blessings do you think the Spirit of God is going to bring to you?
Amen.
What kind of guidance do you think the Spirit of God is going to guide you with? Yeah. What kind of comfort do you think the Holy Spirit can be to you? How much of the Word of God do you think the Spirit of God will open up to you if you're grieving the Spirit of God? Listen, we're in a spiritual warfare.
Yes.
That means physical weapons do nothing.
That's right.
It's a spiritual warfare. We've got to face the spiritual warfare. Number one, listen to me now. We got to face the spiritual warfare with knowledge, not assumption.
Amen.
When you assume something in warfare, that is absolutely foolish. I've told you the story about the guy that we were blowing up some stuff, and the grass was kind of wet early one morning, and he took an electric blasting cap and he put it on the end of the wire, put it in his hand, turned it sideways like that, and took off walking, dragging that wet wire and stuff through the grass. And that is an absolute no-no. 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 And he assumed he could do it and get away with it. Well, I told him, no, that's all right. And he went and done his thing, turned it like that, and took off walking. Man, that wire was just spinning off that spool. He walked right over this little hill where we had a bunch of stuff piled up that we were going to blow up. By the time he got over that hill, all of a sudden we heard, and the wire stopped. And the guy I was with, he just looked at me and he smiled real big. And here comes this guy come walking back. had his hand like this. It was just a black cap with little pieces of metal in it, some of them in his face. We were standing there looking at him, kind of smiling. He come walking back. He got right up to us. We hadn't said nothing. He just gets up to us and says, "Oh, shut up." And he kept on walking. You see, he assumed he could do it and get away with it. Listen to me. I'm about 30 seconds away from stopping. Many people play the odds. They gamble with eternity. Like him, he was playing the odds. He had done that before and got away with it. That's exactly David had done a bunch of things, got away with it. And now he assumed, without religious knowledge, without the knowledge that was needed to do it right, that he could do it and get away with it. And that's exactly how some people in our churches live. They play against the odds. Man, they think they can do it and get away with it. I got a news flash for you. You won't. You won't. Old Percy Ray was preaching one time. He went down to the county, got a regular stoplight. Red, yellow, green. He had him wire that thing up where the red light would just be flashing, and it had "stop" written on it. He took to preaching. When he got down to the end, he went over, turned the light on, that little light started blinking. It said, "Stop, stop, stop." He ended his message by yelling and screaming, "Stop, sinner, stop! Stop, sinner, stop! Stop, sinner, stop!" And that's what I'm trying to say to some of you tonight.
Amen.
You're trying to live life religiously ignorant. That means what you do it out of assumption that God is going to accept it. The only thing God accepts is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, all of our righteousness is as of filthy rags. The only thing God accepts is Jesus Christ and His righteousness, nothing else. The only way God's going to accept us is because we are in Christ, nothing else. That's it. And I end with this. Obedience brings blessing. Amen. Obedience brings blessing. Assumption brings something else. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you walking the death path? Are you walking the death path? Are you walking the death path? It seems right to you. So you think that your right is better than God's right? It seems right to you. So you think, well, to hell with God. This is how I'm going to do it. And He's just going to have to accept it. I got a news flash for you. You better listen real, real close. Listen real close, because you're going to hear this. You're going to hear God say, "To hell with you." Let's all stand.
Amen.
As we go to the Lord in prayer.